We read God's word in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Our text will be verse 18. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Thus far, we read God's holy word. Our text is Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Beloved, it has been well said that the Christian army fights on its knees. And at the youth camp this past week, we looked at the six pieces of armor given to us to enable us to fight. But there's a danger, beloved, that when we study these pieces of armor, we admire them, we put them on, and then we attempt in our own strength to use them because we neglect to pray. There's a danger that we expect automatic success. And so the Holy Spirit adds verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The call to prayer then, beloved, is no incidental matter. It is vitally important in Christian warfare. In fact, the activity of praying is connected to the immediately preceding verse. The words praying and the word watching refer back to the verb take in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation, praying. Take the helmet of salvation, watching thereunto. And then take the sword of the Spirit, praying and watching thereunto. And those words, praying and watching, really refer back to all of those verbs in the entire immediate context. Or to speak grammatically, the participles, those words ending in ing, modify the main verbs. Stand, praying, watching thereunto. Having your loins girt about with truth, praying, watching thereunto. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, praying, watching thereunto. Your feet shod, praying, watching thereunto. Take the shield of faith, praying, watching, thereunto, etc., etc., etc. And the idea is therefore this, while you are doing all of these other things, you must be praying and watching thereunto. Wear, put on, and use the six pieces of armor of God prayerfully. And so here, we don't have a new piece of armor. Prayer is not a piece of armor. Here we drop the metaphor and speak plainly. While we fight as Christian soldiers, we must be praying. That's our theme then, praying Christian soldiers. Praying Christian soldiers. Notice first, that they pray. Second, what they pray. And third, how they pray. The Christian soldier fights prayerfully with his heart fixed on Jesus Christ. Prayer is worship. Not only singing is worship, not only preaching is worship, prayer is worship. And prayer is humbling ourselves before God, and prayer is fellowship or communion with God in heaven, who is our Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's why only Christians can pray. Others might prostrate themselves before a deity of some kind, but they do not enjoy fellowship with God. They're not loved by God. They cannot know themselves to be loved by God outside of Jesus Christ. But the Christian, he prays to the God whom he loves, the God who loves him. The Christian delights in God. The Christian breathes after God in ardent affection and desire. And so prayer is this covenant communion or covenant communication with the God who loves us and whom we love. He speaks to us in the inspired scriptures, and we speak to him in prayer. And that's why, beloved, prayer is a wonder of grace. It's a privilege, a wonder that God gives us access to himself by means of prayer. It's amazing grace that God delights to hear our prayers and promises to give us everything that we need in the way of our prayers. In the way of prayer, God provides us with every good and perfect gift that comes from above. In the way of prayer, we enjoy sweet, precious fellowship with our Father in heaven. And we pray because we rely on God for all things. And we understand that God is the source of our power and strength, and that by means of prayer, God is pleased to give the gift of Jesus Christ to us. Remember verse 10, be strong in the Lord. Well, how are we strong in the Lord? By praying, by watching thereunto. When we pray, we lay hold of the power of God. Think of Jacob's prayer in Genesis 32:26. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And that's the attitude or the disposition of the Christian soldier. In connection with every piece of defensive and offensive armor, the Christian soldier is praying. He's relying upon God. He's doing that consciously. He's relying upon God for the victory, and he's asking God for that victory. And prayer, therefore, is the opposite of self-reliance. A self-reliant person cannot pray. because he sees no need to pray. He trusts in himself. Think of the sword, the last piece of armor mentioned in verse 17. A Christian soldier might know his sword extremely well. And in the eyes of others, he may be a skilled exegete. He may be a great Bible teacher, but he must pray while he's taking up the sword. And Paul understood this because he asks for prayer as well, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. If the apostle Paul required prayer and asked people to pray for him, how much more do we not require prayer? And so there's always this danger, beloved, of dead orthodoxy. We have the knowledge of God, but we have no power because we do not ask in prayer. We become puffed up in doctrinal preciseness, but we have no real love of the truth because we do not pray. But the entire Christian life, whether eating or drinking or sleeping or living in marriage or child rearing or housework or work on the job site or schoolwork, all of it must be done to the glory of God. And we cannot do any of that without prayer. And we certainly cannot fight against the devil. Even if God gives us all of this wonderful armor, we cannot fight against the devil if we do not pray. There are two words for prayer in the text: prayer and supplication. The first word is the more general term for prayer. It's that spiritual exercise or practice of drawing near to God, entering into his presence, and pouring out our hearts before him. So prayer can be many different things. Prayer can be praise. Think of your own prayers. You include in your prayer praise. You adore your Father in heaven. You express your heartfelt devotion to him in prayer. And then there's the unburdening of our hearts in prayer, opening up to God the intimate secrets of our soul, confiding in him things that we would never confide to any other person. Prayers of thanksgiving, expressions of gratitude to God for his mercies. There's a rich storehouse, beloved, of possibilities for prayer. And then there's confession. Confession of who God is in prayer and the confession of our sins. And this need to pray now, especially for the Christian soldier, reminds the Christian soldier that he is under the sovereignty of God, under his chief captain in this spiritual battle. And the aim of the Christian soldier, beloved, is not riches or personal glory. Paul tells us what the aim of the soldier is in 2 Timothy 2 verse 4. His aim is, quote, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The Christian soldier then is under orders. He's under the commanding orders of Jesus Christ. And prayer is that means of fellowship that the Christian soldier has with the captain of his salvation. Imagine a soldier cut off from communication with the commander of the army. He's easy prey for the enemy. Well, a Christian cut off from communication or communion or fellowship with Jesus Christ is an easy target for the devil. And the line of communication that we have with Jesus Christ is prayer. And then there's supplication. There's prayer, that's the more general word. And then there's supplication. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Supplication is the making of specific requests. A supplication is an urgent request, a specific, definite request. Not some general thing, but a specific request for a specific blessing. And to make such a specific request, beloved, you must know and feel a sense of need. The church of the Laodiceans did not make supplications. Here's their proud boast in Revelation 3:17. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. The Christian soldier may not say that. And look at the context of our text. The need to make supplications and prayer is urgent because we are in the midst of a battlefield. Fiery darts are flying around against us. Winds of doctrine are blowing against us. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against all the powers of darkness. Satan and his host are hell-bent on our destruction. Who would not cry out to God in those circumstances? And perhaps the reason why we do not cry out as fervently and as urgently as we ought to, and with all supplication and with all prayer, is because the devil hides. The devil doesn't show himself. We think the devil isn't actually there. We think we can go along and stand in our own strength. And then we do not pray. We must make supplication of our God because our calling is to stand in the evil day. That too is the context. And how shall we stand without prayer? Here we are standing, clothed with this armor, but we do not have any strength even to lift up the shield or to lift up the sword. And the fighting is so fierce that we begin to lose heart, and even with the whole armor of God, our hands tremble as we lay hold of the sword. Hebrews 12:12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And where will we get the strength to lift up those hands that hang down? Where will we get strength for our feeble knees? From God in heaven. And therefore, we seek Him as the source of our help. And yet God helps those who ask of Him. God wills to be asked. God wills that we show that we rely on Him utterly for all things, and therefore He expects that we pray. Now, the situation in which the Christian soldier finds himself is so serious that the Holy Spirit here in our text underlines the urgent need for prayer. He shows us here that this prayer, this praying, this activity of praying, is not an optional extra in the life of the Christian soldier, but is in fact the life breath of the Christian soldier. He does that by his repetition of the word all. Look at verse 18, the number of times he uses the word all. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All prayer. All prayer. All prayer means prayer in every lawful form. Private prayer. Prayer, as was often called, closet prayer in the past. Family prayers. Prayers with husbands and wives. prayers with the children, prayers in the informal gatherings of the church with fellow saints and Bible studies, the congregational prayers in public worship. All of these prayers can be described from Scripture. What are the requirements of prayer? Or what are the characteristics of acceptable prayer? Well, they're offered to the true God. They're offered in the name of Jesus Christ. They're offered through the Holy Spirit. They're offered in faith. And they're offered always in submission to God's sovereign will. Prayer, all prayer. And then always, always, at all times, or literally in every time. Some pray only in emergencies. Scripture says, always pray at every time. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is always proper. Prayer is always necessary. Some pray only when they feel like it, or when they're in the mood for prayer. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We pray at all times. Always. Some pray only when things are bad, but then they neglect their prayer during times of prosperity. Others do it the opposite way. Scripture says, pray at every time, always, in prosperity and in adversity. We must pray all prayers and all supplications at all times with all perseverance. It is not enough, beloved, to pray occasionally, to pray here and there, to say your prayers, as is often put. We must persevere. Persevere. We must continue in prayer. We must not give up praying. To persevere means to attend continuously to that thing, or to be devoted to that thing, or to be attentive to that thing. That's how we are called to pray. Not half-heartedly, but continually, attentively, devotedly, perseveringly. Keep on praying, says the apostle. Do not stop praying. Never stop praying. All perseverance, he adds. Not simply praying with perseverance, but praying with all perseverance. Your whole life must be a life of prayer, says the apostle. You're always to be in communion with God. As you go through your life, you're always shooting up, as it were, short prayers to God. Lord, I thank thee. Lord, help me. Lord, I need thee. Lord, preserve me. Lord, save me. That's what the Bible means by praying without ceasing, or praying always. And then because there's always that temptation to give up, the prayer of the Christian requires that he exert himself. You must exert yourself against all temptations to give up. We are to be watching thereunto with all perseverance. Watching thereunto. And again, those two words, watching and praying, are participles ending in ing. We stand watching and praying, or praying and watching. We take up the whole armor of God, watching and praying, or praying and watching. We take the helmet and the sword, watching and praying and watching. And to watch simply means to be awake. In fact, the basic idea of that word watch is sleeplessness. Sleeplessness. And that, of course, is fitting for a soldier. A soldier must be watching. A soldier may not fall asleep while he is on duty. A soldier must always be alert. He's always expecting danger from every quarter at any time, must always therefore maintain an attitude of fervent prayer, watching thereunto, or watching with a view to it, watching with a view to prayer, watching for occasions to pray, watching against anything that might hinder prayer, whether books or videos or games or the phone or Facebook or Twitter or some other social media account or too little sleep or a poor use of time. All of these things are enemies of prayer, guarding against prayerlessness, guarding against complacency. Watch and pray. That was always Jesus' command to his disciples, especially when it came to his second coming. Take heed, he says in Mark 13:13, take ye heed, watch and pray. For ye know not when the time is. Or Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray. Pray always that ye may escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. To watch with a view to prayer means you must be alert to what is going on. You must be aware of what kind of battle you are engaged in. You must know the enemy. You must know yourself and your own needs and the needs of other members of the church. You must be informed, therefore. Watch and pray. And this calling to be watchful with all perseverance is necessary because prayer is difficult. There are, in fact, 101 things in the Christian life easier than prayer. Reading Scripture is easier than prayer. Making sermons is easier than prayer. Listening to sermons is easier than prayer. Reading theological books is easier in prayer. It is easier to read books about prayer than to pray. It is easier to talk about prayer than to pray. It is easier to preach sermons about prayer than to pray. It is easier to study the Greek and Hebrew words for prayer than actually to pray. And I speak from experience also, and all preachers will agree. It's easier to do those things than actually to pray. And Scripture's language reflects this difficulty. In Acts 6, verse 4, the apostles say, we will give ourselves to prayer. That requires effort on their part. In Romans 15:30, we are exhorted to strive together, or literally agonize together in prayer. In Colossians 4, verse 12, we hear of one laboring fervently in prayer. Why is prayer difficult? Well, prayer requires faith. We pray to one whom we do not see, nor do we hear him, nor do we sense him with our physical senses. We find it easier to focus on things that we can see, and we're so easily distracted in our prayers. Moreover, Satan does not want us to pray. And as we get down on our knees, he assaults us at that very point. He tries to stop us from praying. He tries to distract us from praying. That's because he fears prayer. And then the answer to prayer does not always come as quickly as we might expect or in the way that we would desire, and so we are tending to give up in our prayers. Paul says now to the Christian soldier, do not give up. Pray with all prayer. Pray with all supplication. Pray at all times. Watch thereunto. Persevere in prayer. Persevere with all perseverance. All prayer, always, all perseverance. And the fourth all saints. Prayer is for all saints. Pray with all prayer. Watch thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. We don't pray to saints, that's Roman Catholicism. We pray for all saints. We pray for those who are our fellow believers. We pray for God's holy people, the saints. They have been set apart by God Himself. They have been elected unto holiness. Ephesians 1 verse 4. They have been redeemed by the blood of Christ unto holiness. Ephesians chapter 5. They have the indwelling Holy Spirit within them who makes them holy. And their holiness is a devotion to God, to His service, and a spiritual separation from the world of sin. And we're all, those who believe in Jesus Christ, we're all holy in common. We're all saints together. You're not the only saint in the world, in the church. All of us in the Christian church, men, women, and children, have been chosen to be soldiers of Jesus Christ and to march under His glorious banner. We all stand in battle array against the devil. We're all set in that front line of that spiritual warfare, standing shoulder to shoulder, all clothed with the same spiritual armor. We all embrace the same truth. We're all dressed with the same righteousness of Christ. We all believe the same gospel, are energized by the same gospel peace. We have the same object of faith and hope. We're all clutching to the same sword of the Spirit. And all saints, in the context of the Ephesians, meant that the Ephesians were to pray for the Colossians and for the Corinthians and for the Thessalonians and for the Romans. In our context, it means we pray for our fellow saints in Australia, in Tasmania. We pray for the saints in Singapore and in the Philippines. We pray for saints in the USA. We pray for saints in Ireland and all across the world. We pray for God's people. And that's because we're in one army. And sometimes, beloved, it does not seem that way. We spend more time in fighting than in fighting against the enemy. But, beloved, our fellow soldiers need our prayers. They need prayers and supplications. They need all prayers and all supplications at all times. And therefore, our practice must be, beloved, to pray for other Christians. We pray for the pastor. We pray for the elders and the deacons. We pray for the married couples. We pray for the parents. We pray for the children. We pray for the single members. We pray for the elderly. We pray for the sick. We pray for the dying. We pray for the bereaved. We pray for congregations and for denominations and for broader assemblies and for seminaries and for mission work and for sister churches and for much, much, much more. Because, beloved, the other saints need your prayers and supplications at all times. Perhaps you think there's a lull in my personal spiritual battle. There probably isn't, but you might think that way. Maybe things are good for you at this time. But somewhere else, a fellow saint, he or she is in the thick of it. And he or she needs you to pray for them. To pray for them with all perseverance. Not to give up praying for them, to remember them, to watch for opportunities to pray for them and to help them to become informed about their particular needs. Some of God's people are struggling. Some of them are despairing. Some of them are about to give up. Some have fallen on the battlefield and need to be picked up. Lift them up in prayer before God. Some are being persecuted. Pray for them. Watch and pray and persevere in prayer. And the only way, beloved, in which we can pray, as the text calls us to pray, is in the Spirit. Notice that in the text, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word Spirit in the text is not the human spirit. That's why it's right that the King James translators have it as a capital S. If that were the case, the human spirit, you would be saying this: when you pray, put your heart and soul into it. Put your human spirit into it. But that has really already been said, because we have been called to perseverance and watching, which are necessary in connection with our prayers. We must not be satisfied with cold, indifferent, half-hearted, formalistic prayers, only going through the motions, as it were. But if that were the meaning of the verse, and that were how we were to end the sermon this morning, pray harder, put more effort into it, then we'd have to end the sermon, beloved, with despair. Because all of us must confess that the spirit, the human spirit, is willing, but the flesh is weak. And when it comes to the human spirit, even the human spirit sometimes is unwilling. Sometimes it's too much even to drag ourselves before the throne of grace in prayer. And when it comes to prayer, we find many things that we would rather do. And we wonder then why we lack power in the Christian life. James says, ye have not because ye ask not. And then he adds, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Don't think, therefore, beloved, that we can simply, by being fervent enough or praying hard enough or getting enough people to pray with us, that we can force God to give us what we want. That's not how prayer works either. We come as God's children before Him, trusting that Father knows best. Or, to use the metaphor of the military here, we come as soldiers subject to Jesus Christ, obedient to Him, and trusting that His campaign strategy is best, and that He loves and cares for the soldiers in His army. It would be arrogant for a soldier to imagine that he could dictate to his commanding officer how the war should be won. But rather, we are comforted in this, beloved: God is sovereign, God is wise, God is gracious, and God will give to us what He has promised in the way of prayer. Not the human spirit then, but the Holy Spirit. We're praying in the Holy Spirit. Now again, banish from your mind all thoughts of mysticism. Praying in the Spirit is not some kind of special praying technique, but praying in the Spirit is normal Christian prayer. Praying in the Spirit, and all true prayer is in the Spirit, is praying in accordance with Scripture. Notice the close connection between verses 17 and 18. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And the same Spirit who gave us the Scripture as the sword also works in us the power to pray. And when we pray in the Spirit, we pray therefore in and through Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit's role is to glorify Jesus Christ and to unite us to Him. Never separate the Holy Spirit from Scripture. And never separate the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ, who is revealed in Scripture. And never separate Jesus Christ from His work on the cross and His resurrection. The Holy Spirit works always to magnify the work of Jesus Christ. And any spirit who teaches us to move beyond the Bible and beyond Christ and beyond the cross is a false spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit is really similar to Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How then does the Spirit help us pray? Or how do we pray in the Spirit? Well, first, the Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus Christ by working in us a true faith. And that's foundational. We cannot pray unless we are united to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit then makes us partakers of all the benefits and gifts that Jesus Christ has earned for us on the cross. And then second, out of that bond, the Spirit works in us the desire to pray. And the power to pray. And as we are united to Christ, we live more and more out of Christ. We seek more and more our life in Jesus Christ. We seek more and more the power of Christ through prayer. And since the Holy Spirit is the power behind our prayers, and since the Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus Christ, and since the triune God delights in Jesus Christ, and since He delights in us who are in Jesus Christ, we have confidence in coming before Him in prayer. And as we pray, we receive the strength to take up and to use the whole armor of God. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And we advance, therefore, upon the enemy, praying in the Holy Spirit with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And as praying Christian soldiers, we enjoy victory in the battle of faith. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the gift of prayer. Give unto us Thy grace to cause us to desire to pray, and work in us the power to pray, and answer our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.